The empty tomb fulfilled the prophetic words of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. An appropriate time to be speaking about the empty tomb. You know, some people celebrate this day. They call it Easter. I call it Resurrection Day. A great time to remember what truly happened when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So we're going to take a look at the prophetic words that Christ spoke. We're going to honor the Word of God and see today how the Lord honored His own Word. So I want you to know that Jesus, He prophesied His own death and resurrection many times in the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." So right off the bat, we see the Lord is prophesying of things to come. He's talking about the people who are going to turn on him. We're talking about the religious crowd, the Jewish religious people, the elders, the chief priests, the scribes. He's going to be killed. He's prophesying his own death. And he's talking about his own resurrection on the third day. So that's some powerful stuff, folks. Let's go to Matthew 17. Verses 22 and 23, it says, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry." So once again, he's referring to himself here as the Son of Man, and he's going to be betrayed, and he's going to be killed. So once again, he's prophesying his own death and his resurrection on the third day. Matthew 20, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said this, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." So once again, talking about his own death, talking about the resurrection. So once again, you see him referring to the chief priest. He's going to be delivered over to the Gentiles. So here we have a picture of the religious people working with the Gentiles. We're talking unsaved people on both sides. The religious Jews rejected Christ for the most part, and talking about delivering over to the Gentiles, they're going to put him to death. So, folks, today you must realize that many people are very religious. Many reject Jesus Christ outright, but yet those same people will be working with the civil workers, the civil leaders, if you would, the people of our day, similar to what was going on there. Religious people, most want nothing to do with the person of Jesus Christ. Let's go to John chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. It says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him," meaning Jesus, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. That's powerful. So, you know, the religious Jews, they saw the sign, you know, different things, miracles that Jesus was doing. And, you know, at one point in time, he went through the temple and he was turning tables over and so on and so forth. You know, and the Jewish people said, "What sign showest thou? You know, how can you prove? What gives you the right to do these things?" So basically, the Lord said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He was talking about his body, but yet his own disciples did not understand that scripture until he was risen from the dead. They knew he spoke those words, but they did not understand them at the time when he did speak those words. But after he rose from the dead, it was the Holy Spirit that brought that to their minds, that gave them the understanding. That's the way the Lord works. He does that with believers today, by the way. It's the Spirit of the living God. As you read the Word of God, he'll bring things to understanding, folks. Sometimes you'll be reading the words, you'll feel as if you are there. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what he does. That's the way he works. So some powerful stuff here. So we see here, folks, that Christ was in effect prophesying his own death. These are things that are going, we know they came true. They're going to come true. He knew it. And thank God we have the Word of God. We have the Bible. We know it came true. We know it's true by the scriptures that we have in our hands. So keep in mind, the Lord never lied. It's impossible for him to lie. So I want to put the emphasis on the scriptures and how they are fulfilled. The Word of God, folks, this will encourage you. This will build up your faith. So, you know, let's take a look at what happened after Christ rose from the dead. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 13 through 27. It says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And they're talking about what happened to Christ. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre or grave. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we got a lot of meat here, a lot of spiritual food to digest, ladies and gentlemen. This is a beautiful thing, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. So, you know, here you have these two followers of the Lord, and they're walking along and having a conversation, and, you know, the Lord Jesus pulls up next to them. Can you imagine this? And they're reciting all of these things, and he basically said, what's cooking? You know, what are you talking about? And they looked at him like, where you been, in outer space? You know, you got no clue what's going on here? You know, and they started reciting what took place. They talked about Jesus and how he was mighty in word and deeds, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. And they thought, you know, we thought he was going to be the one who would redeem Israel. And it's the third day since these things happened. Then he went on to say, certain women went to the tomb, and they found that it was empty. It's the empty tomb. And they said that the angels told them that he was alive. So, you know, very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. As you see what these two men were telling Jesus, it's describing exactly what Jesus Christ said would take place. Think about that. The scriptures prophesied of this. And here the Lord prophesied his own death, how the chief priests and so on and so forth would deliver him over to the Gentiles. So here they're reciting exactly what took place. They have no idea that the one that they are talking to is Jesus Christ himself. That's powerful. So, you know, the Lord, you know, after that, he basically rebuked them. And, you know, he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And look what he says. He says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So once again, we see the beauty of the word of God. Jesus connects the Old Testament prophets with himself. So not only did he prophesy his own death, now he's going back and saying, look, this is meant to happen. And he spoke about Moses and the prophets. You know, obviously, if you take a look at the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, that's the prophecy concerning the death of Jesus Christ. That was given approximately 700 years before Christ was killed on the cross. So we see the word of God, the scriptures being exalted here once again. So that's something you can keep in mind. Let's go now to the same chapter, Luke 24, verses 33 to 48. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So this is the same two guys. Now they're going back to meet with the 11. And verse 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Let me stop there. So they're going to tell the story of what happened to them, how the Lord sat down to eat with them, and in the breaking of bread, they got the revelation that it was him. And if you go to read that, you'll see that he basically vanished out of their sight. Incredible. Verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat or food? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. That's powerful. So the same two guys, the Lord revealed himself to these two men on the road to Emmaus. And they went back to testify. And lo and behold, the Lord appears in the middle of them talking to the others. That's powerful. And now the Lord comes. And it says they were terrified. They were frightened. Okay, and they thought they saw a spirit or a ghost. This was the Lord. Now, you got to realize, you know, the Lord was butchered on a cross. So this is almost incomprehensible to them that now he's standing there before them. And that's why I said, why are you troubled? You know, and he wanted now to encourage them. That's why he said, look, Behold, my hands and my feet. He's showing them the holes in his hands and in his feet. He's trying to say, look, it's me. Handle, look, feel me, handle me. See, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. This is important, folks. It's important that you understand that the man, the Son of Man, the one we know as Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, went to the cross and he rose again. And here he is, folks, risen. This is Christ, the one who conquered sin and death. He did it as a man, ladies and gentlemen. He did that for us. So now he rose again. He's trying to say, look, you know, because some of the cults, they'll just say he rose in as a spirit and so on and so forth. No, he's showing his own followers, look, it's me. And he's showing the holes in his hands, okay? He was nailed to the cross. He wasn't tortured on a torture stake, as the Jehovah's Witness people say, the Watchtower people, that his hands, they'll have illustrations of his hands being tied by rope above his head. No, he had holes in his hands, ladies and gentlemen. That refutes that lie. So, holes in his feet. So he wanted them to see. And then he asked for something to eat. Do you have any food? He was doing that for a reason. He's basically saying, look, it's me. I want you to know it's me. This is the gospel, folks. This is the one who rose from the dead. This is victory time for the believer. Oh, yes, it is. He did this for you and me. Oh, yes, he did. So that's why he asked them for something to eat. Once again, he exalts and honors the word of God. He said, this is what I was trying to tell you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. The scriptures, they dovetail together, folks. All the Old Testament dovetails perfectly together with the new. One unified book. Oh, yes. This is beautiful, folks. Isn't it wonderful to know when you pick up the Bible to read the Word of God, when you are reading the Psalms and you are reading the prophets and you're reading the books of Moses, that you're reading the same scriptures that they were reading? Isn't that powerful? That's why this Word is a treasure, such a treasure, ladies and gentlemen. We take it for granted a lot of times. Some countries don't even have a Bible. So don't take this book for granted, that the Lord here, he's talking about the prophets and the Psalms and Moses and so on and so forth. You are reading the same scriptures. Something to keep in mind. So this is beautiful, folks. That the Word of God is true. Christ fulfilled the scriptures. The resurrection, the empty tomb is a testimony to the powerful Word of God. It's a testimony to the prophets who prophesied certain things to come. It's a testimony to the prophecies of Christ himself. Don't ever forget that. So what does this have to do with you and me? You might ask that question. I want you to know that eternal life is found in Jesus Christ alone. Either you belong to him or you do not. Oh, yes. And you need to pass, ladies and gentlemen, you need to pass from death to life, hear me now, before you die. I'll say it again. You, that's you, whoever you are listening, you need to pass from death, spiritual death, to life, spiritual life, before you die physically in this world, folks. I'll never forget that. So if you've never been saved, never been born again, you listen up good here. Might be the last time you ever hear the Word of God, folks. Don't take it lightly. Let me go to John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So this was the Lord speaking. This was when Lazarus was dead. He was eventually raised from the dead by the Lord. And he's calling himself, he's referring to himself as the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Eternal life is in the Son, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to John 5, verses 24 and 25. This is Christ speaking, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Don't miss that. He said, the hour is coming, and now is. The word of God that was preached to them, they had the opportunity to receive that word, to believe in the Lord, and pass from death unto life. That's the promise for you today, ladies and gentlemen. You turn to the Lord, you say, Lord, save my soul. You recognize you're a sinner. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. You will be saved. You will be born again. You will pass from death unto life. You must be born again. That's something that the Lord spoke, folks. John 3, verses 6 to 8. This is what Jesus said. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth or wishes, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I've said it many times, you're born physically, so you're born of the flesh. But the word for you today, folks, is you must be born again of the Spirit. If that has never happened to you, you're still dead. You're still spiritually dead in your sins. You die in that condition, you'll end up in hell. Plain and simple. This is basic Christianity 101. You must be born again, folks. That spiritual birth must take place before you die. It doesn't happen when you're baptized, not as a little baby, an infant, as I was taught as a Catholic. Even as an adult, that baptism, you don't get regenerated by going down into a pool of water, folks. You see, it's something that takes place in the heart, you see? I was baptized as an infant, and I was baptized, I guess you would call it, full immersion in a tank of water. Hallelujah. What a glorious day that was. But I was saved before that. I gave my testimony before I went down into the pool of water. Glory to God. So my going down into water was a testimony that I am a believer. I believe in Christ. Oh, yes. That's what was taking place there. Look at this, 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I'll never forget that, ladies and gentlemen. Eternal life, it's found in one place. It's found in Jesus Christ. It's found in the Son of God. If you don't know him, I don't care how religious you may think you are, how spiritual you are, whatever religion you might be, if you don't have Christ, if you don't have eternal life, if you've never been born again of the Spirit, you're lost. You're like a walking dead man. Oh, yes, you're dead. You're dead in your sins. And on the outside, you may be Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family. But in the sight of God, you're still lost. Folks, that was me up until I was saved, born again back in 1989. Bopping along, as I always say, bopping along on my way to hell. I like to read books. I like to study different things. Always searching. I had this gnawing, this insatiable desire in my heart. I knew something was missing. I said, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. That's my testimony. Going to this mall out in Long Island, book after book after book, trying to search for truth, never coming until I came to know the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to save you years of trouble, folks, no matter who you are, young or old, male or female, doesn't matter. My goal my purpose in preaching these messages is to pluck some people out. You know, folks, I know many people reject it, but I'm sowing a seed here. It's like I'm throwing a spiritual fishing pole out into the waters of this world and hoping that you grab hold and come into the kingdom, folks. That's what I'm praying for, that would happen. So remember, folks, true faith will bring true peace. The Apostle Paul, keep in mind, this man was a tyrant, Christian persecutor, and you could say a Christian murderer. He consented unto the death of many Christians. So if the Lord can save him, he can save you too. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many people say, you know, you can't, nobody knows where they're going. You can't say that, like you're being presumptuous. No, you can't. Nobody knows where they're going. I'm telling you can know, because the Bible tells you you can know. You can be justified by faith, ladies and gentlemen. That's where you're going to get the peace, you see? You don't have to worry about going to purgatory. Oh, no. Wondering if somebody's going to offer up a Catholic Mass for you, perhaps. No. You put your faith in the Lord. So let's go to Romans, the same book, chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So there's a lot to learn here. You know, in fact, when you go down, ladies and gentlemen, into that baptismal pool, it's basically you're making testifying that your old man is crucified with him. You joined with Christ. You believed in what he did on the cross. So you're saying that old man is crucified with him, okay? And now the body of sin is destroyed. He that is dead is freed from sin. So it says, if you be dead with Christ, you shall also live with him. So when you come up out of that baptismal pool of water, You, it's a statement that you're risen with Christ. You're raised from the dead. Oh, yes. You're seated in heavenly places with him. Hallelujah. So that's something you should understand, folks. This is what Christ did for you. You can be saved. You can be washed clean by the blood that Jesus Christ shed for you on the cross. Let's close it out here. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. I use this a lot. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, include you. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm going to stop there for a second. Don't ever forget that verse 9, folks. It says, much more than being now justified by his blood. Whose blood? The blood of Jesus Christ. We shall be saved. You were previously lost. If you know Christ, now you're saved. You're saved from wrath. How? Through him. So don't let people say you can't know. You can know. I am justified by what Christ did for me. I'm justified by his blood. This is what he wants you to know. And you can be saved from wrath by believing in him through simple faith. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So it tells us right here, once again, we were enemies. I was formerly an enemy of Jesus Christ, an enemy of God. But I was reconciled back to God. How? By the death of his son, Christ. So much more, being reconciled, I will be saved by his life. So you are reconciled, ladies and gentlemen, by faith. You've been reconciled back to God. God's not going to be waiting up there and saying, wait, you know, you're going to hang out in purgatory for a couple of thousand years and we'll see who's praised for you. You got to go through Mother Mary. Oh, no. These are man-made traditions, man-made lies. I want to make that clear. You don't have to do that. You say, the Lord set me free from that. Oh, yes, he did. So now I'm at peace with God. I'm justified by faith, justified by the blood that Christ shed for me, and he wants to do that for you. So even though we know in and of ourselves we're nothing but wretches, ungodly wretches, we as believers have tasted of the love of God. Oh, yes. We've been justified by his blood. We're saved from wrath. We're reconciled back to God. Hallelujah. So I want you to see, folks, the death of Christ, the empty tomb, meaning that he got back up from the dead. He was raised from the dead. It's a fulfillment of the very words, the prophetic words that Christ himself spoke. So I hope you understand that, folks, that Christ came down from above. He was manifest. He took on our flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but yet he had no sin. And he did this for you. He did it for me. He wants you to get on board. You see that? Through faith, you become a co-heir, a joint heir with Christ. And the big prize, folks, eternity. Hallelujah. Eternity in heaven. Eternity with the Lord. And you say, well, this just sounds too easy. Nobody really knows, and nobody... Well, if you look inside your own sinful heart, folks, anybody would probably think that way. But God wants you to look at the scriptures. He understands very well that that's how you are and that's how I am. But he wants you to understand his great love that he had toward you. And he wants you to grab hold of that. And your great enemy, your arch enemy, Satan, does not want you to know what I told you today. He will try to block your mind. He'll try to put thoughts in your mind that this isn't for you. It's for everybody else except you. That's the way he is. He'll tell you you're too bad. You're too wicked. You did too many bad things in your life. Who are you to come after all these years? Perhaps you're older. You never went to church in your life. Who are you? Now all of a sudden you're going to be Holy Joe or something? Don't buy the lie, folks. You could be on your deathbed. You could have COVID. Breathing your final breaths, God can save your soul. Remember the thief on the cross. Don't forget they were on the cross. They were dying. And one of them said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. So no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, don't listen to Satan's lies. You know, people even say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I didn't serve God. Now I'm not going to play games. No, that's the devil. The devil knows you're lost. You see that? God knows you're lost, and he's wooing you unto himself. The devil will always condemn you and push you away. But God will always woo you and draw you to himself. I heard a preacher say that once, and I never forgot it. So, folks, I am going to leave it right there. You be blessed, and remember, the empty tomb is victory. Hallelujah.